Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's been a long time, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's been birthdays and COVID sickness and World Series happening in these streets. But we finally found time to talk some football, which right here on 2 Minute Drill. I am Pierce.
I'm Scott.
About Scott, as always. How has the last month of everything been for you?
You
out here with the ski mask, like you about to go mob somebody on Crenshaw.
Well, it's fucking freezing out here.
It's freezing in Los Angeles? No, you don't say.
Well, you know what? It's not too bad right now. It's a high of 66. I mean, it's 66 right now, but it was like, nigga, it got down to like 40.
We got the same temperature right now.
I know. When we did the 7 Acton House preview pod this morning, it was 10 degrees warmer in Chicago than it was. Like, it got down to about 39 degrees last night in LA. Like, it's like, this is usually some January shit.
So what you're saying is 30-degree day, niggas getting they bitch on.
100%. But see, even though it's high 66, even though it's 66 right now, I live on the third floor. You've been to my apartment before. I live on the second floor. Actually, no, it's third floor. I'm tripping.
I thought it was second floor, but I mean, it's like, I guess, like, off of the street level, then yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like at the top. So it's like, if I open my window, nigga, it's going to be a breeze because it's cold up here. So, and then I don't want to, I had my heat on for like 2 hours. So, you know, I give it breaks because I don't want my bill to be ridiculously high. So I'm wearing the fucking Scully right now to keep a little warm. You know what I'm saying? And I get colder than most people. So, but I have to prepare for this because I'm spending the next 2 months in Chicago, Atlanta, Georgia, New York City, and Detroit, Michigan. So,
he's doing the tour, ladies and gentlemen, is what he's
doing.
Saying.
The tour.
Catch him in any of these cities.
Any of these cities.
Premium live events available on Ticketmaster.
Check out my booking. If you want me, I'm gonna be out here with Justin Fields and Chase Claypool.
Speaking of tickets in Ticketmaster, so, you know, I went to Game 3 of the World Series earlier this week. They didn't, you know, because it's not doing like physical tickets. I don't think any team did physical tickets.
Yeah, the Bears stopped doing physical tickets too.
Yeah, so like that's my big issue, number one. Number two, they had the nerve to send us like, oh, you know, get your commemorative tickets. I'm like, okay, that at least will like solve something. We can get a commemorative ticket for free in the mail to solve that problem, right? It's a fucking NFT. They just turned my commemorative World Series ticket
into
supposed to plaster in my man cave to say I was there when the Phillies got their one home win of the World Series. And I can't do that because it's a fucking NFT. Thank you, crypto, and yeah, all man. Of you dorks.
One thing I've learned from Twitter over the last couple weeks as my show has gotten bigger, and I appreciate everybody for watching. I'm not going to hold you. I really do. We're going to try to take it to another level next year. But I have more motherfuckers in my mentions, more motherfuckers in the YouTube comments, more motherfuckers in my IG just been like going crazy, and it's like they want to like debate every fucking thing I said. Like I got called a coon over the last 24 hours because of my Kyrie Irving takes. And things.
Oh, the aunt in Hotep niggas are out.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I've been getting
I've done
of
enough
that.
Cleaning on Facebook and everywhere over the last couple of weeks.
It's crazy, man. It's like, and so with the NFT shit, I said something about NFTs. Like, remember when that news came by Jay-Z, like, I think like 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
When he was talking about he's going to set up an NFT school for niggas in the hood. And I was like, man, just pay these niggas rent, bro. Like, yeah, like, shit. And niggas got on my ass. Well,
would you rather go to NFT school or have a conversation with Jay-Z?
Yeah, exactly. Like, would you rather have your, because he was doing it in like Marcy Project. Like, would you rather have your rent paid for the next year or go to NFT school? And then somebody was like, well, you need to worry about, you know, at least people giving them financial literacy be better because long run it would help them better.
They're selling
like,
you snake oil.
These niggas ain't thinking about, you know, long term shit, bro. Like, they want, like, these niggas ain't got no lights in their apartment. Some of them, you know, they trying to just live to the next fucking day, bro. Like, do shit like that. And I understand Jay-Z's been richer longer than he's been poor. But come on, bro. And like you said, the crypto shit is becoming like, it died out fast.
It's really, it really is. It's, you know, these monetary trends will come and go. We've seen them throughout, you know, ever since we were born. You can just kind of, you know, go down a long list of just like,
man,
this kind of trend. You know, remember when people were like, you know, I can get big by flipping houses, but not everybody can flip houses.
Exactly.
You know, like, crypto is such a weird and volatile game, and then we're turning these things into, you know, little tokens, little online tokens. What the fuck do I need an online token for? I have gifts.
I am very good
with my gifts. Do you understand this game, nigga? You want to pay for this?
Yeah,
come
man.
On. Yeah, you talk about Jay-Z, man. Like, Jay-Z's about to use his crypto money to buy a football team, allegedly.
Or what they call him on Rich Eisen, the Washington Hoves.
The Washington Hoves, that's what they called them.
Yeah, they said if he bought the Commanders, they're gonna call it the Washington Hoves.
Might as well call them the Hovengers, man. Washington Hovengers. Carson Wentz can be Captain America with his back knee. Yeah, either that or either him or Jeff Bezos. We'll see. I'm just glad that Dan Snyder's getting the fuck up out of here. It's gonna be a glorious day. White smoke is gonna come out of the White House when Dan Snyder's getting the fuck up out of here.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some actual football.
Yeah, man.
Good vibes in Philadelphia, at least on the funniest tweets I saw was like, yo, shit's going crazy in Philadelphia right now. You have an undefeated football team, you got a baseball team in the World Series, the Philadelphia Union about to play for the MLS Cup. They have a basketball team.
They have a basketball team.
It's the best time ever to be a Philadelphia sports fan. Please fire Doc. By the way, the Eagles are 8-0 now. They've just defeated the Houston Texans, and I don't think it was a clean win. Damian Pierce was running all over them, which exposed a little bit of
problem that happens.
I feel like it exposed a little bit of a problem that the Eagles have had over the season, in that if you can run the ball effectively on them,
you
can score points and you have a chance. Detroit did it first week of the season. Dallas did it when they had come back and made it a fake game before the Eagles just pulled away. So the Texans were able to keep it competitive, but, you know, this is the best team in football. I don't think anybody saw this coming to this level, but they're rolling on all cylinders right now, and it's kind of like they have no equal seemingly in the NFC. So you know, you hate to think too early, but motherfuckers in Philly already trying to book tickets to Arizona in February.
That would be an interesting Super Bowl if we were able to get Philly versus
Buffalo. It's been the dream, you know.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. I mean, the thing about with the Eagles that I see right now, they're looking good. But, you know, I always pause when we're talking about undefeated teams, because it's like you haven't met your match yet. And I don't know who the hell that match is going to be on their schedule, because if you look at the rest of the schedule, pretty fucking easy. I'm telling you, it's going to be a team that we don't expect to beat them that's going to beat them. I would like for that team to be the Bears.
Well, actually, yeah, I would like for that team to be the Bears, because late enough in the season – where hopefully there's some growth within the offense that, you know, hey, defense might stink it up. They might get the one stop.
I got a hot take about the defense that I said on the pod today, and Joe didn't agree with me.
What is it?
I don't think it's going to be that worse than what it's been.
Well, yeah, because how much worse can it get?
Like, I mean, like, I'm not saying it's going to be good, obviously, but, you know, I know everybody's like, well, no Roquan and Quinn, they're going to be giving up 40 a game. Yeah, I mean, they damn near was doing that with them niggas. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's like
Roquan wasn't effective really on defense anyway. He was getting tackles. Why is he getting tackles? So many tackles. It's because, you know, the front line ain't doing their damn job.
Yeah.
So exactly. Those tackles just going to go to Jack Sanborn or who's the other kid? The other young linebacker they're going to be giving a shot now. Like Weatherford or something like that.
Yeah, it's
Sterling Weatherford.
Yeah, Sterling Weatherford or something. Yeah.
Those tackles can go to that person. They just flipped Roquan Smith, 9 games Roquan Smith for a late second round pick or middle of the round second round pick. We don't know how good Baltimore is going to be to finish out the season.
Especially because they need a wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah, you gave up your second, and I don't think that was, like, you know, a great move, but you ended up cutting through and getting yourself a wide receiver that wouldn't have been available in free agency, and we know what the wide receivers that are going to be available in free agency look like. So, hey, I will take that trade. Now it's, and they got a fifth-round pick. So, yeah, I will take that 10 times out of 10. Like, no need to be worried.
You got another second-rounder.
Yeah, no need to be worried. No, we are good. We are.
I mean,
good.
Like, you convinced me that, you know, awful. You convinced me that, like, Justin and Jalen have a shootout, and maybe we get a late Eddie Jackson pick.
Right, exactly. That's exactly how it played out in my head.
You know what I'm saying? The Bears able to win.
It's exactly how it played it out in my head. You know, but you know, looking at the rest of the Eagles' schedule, they obviously don't play until they got themselves really a mini bye. This is after having a bye a couple weeks ago. They got a mini bye before they played the Commanders Monday night, November 14th.
What'd you think about the Commanders fight song?
The real fight song?
No, the one with the old black dude. Oh, these haters can't stand.
Up, left hand up. Who are we?
Who are we? The Commanders.
I need old niggas to stop rapping like young niggas.
I'm not gonna lie, that shit kind of slapped.
I mean, hey, it's better than Philly going down to yellow and brown.
That's what's in.
Yeah. Will you leave? Listen, I'm glad it's old. It's old black niggas rapping and not old.
Oh, white some, niggas from San Diego.
Exactly.
Who being gas lamp bored.
Aren't you happier that we got Philly in the World Series than San Diego?
I mean, I'm a Manny Machado guy, so I don't
crowd,
I don't
really, crowd wise.
Crowd, I mean, Petco ain't bad, even though Philly crowd is another level. Philly telling niggas, fuck you. You know, you got that little kid in Houston who was cussing, old boy, I'd have muffed his little ass, but you know, after a big home run.
Yeah, but hey, you know, the other team in Philly is doing fucking well, and the Eagles are 8-0, and you know, it's kind of like what will be their end doing. Oh, sorry, let me get to the rest of the schedule, because they got the Commanders, and then November 20th, they're in Indy to play the Colts. After Thanksgiving, Sunday night against the Packers, home against the Titans, who did you know the Tennessee Titans are 5-2?
Yeah, I did, yeah, because I know because of Mr. Derrick Henry.
How is he not falling off, man?
Like, yeah, he's just amazing. They're going to get banged on this weekend, though. I think Malik Willis is starting.
Yeah, he started last week, too.
I mean, even if Tannehill was starting. Oh, he did start last week, yeah. Even if Tannehill was starting, they're going to lose anyway, too. It don't really matter. The Chiefs is going to win that game.
they close it out at Giants, at Bears, at Cowboys on Christmas Eve.
And that then hosting is gonna be a good game.
And then hosting the Saints and the Giants to end the season. So
I didn't realize we had a whole slate of games on Christmas Eve because it's a Sunday.
Right. And then three games on
triple
Christmas
header on Christmas. I just hope at the Bills game that the Bears have a nice Christmas spread, because that's gonna be a shellacking of epic proportions.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. I don't want to think too much about it, just because I don't want to ruin.
Josh Allen is going to solidify his MVP that day.
I don't want to ruin my Christmas yet, but you know, the Eagles will get tripped up at some point. Yes, whether it's against the Giants, it's because the Giants are playing well. You know, they didn't meet Dak the first go around,
and they went down to the wire against Cooper,
and it was a close game against Cooper. You know, the Saints can sometimes pull a shutout out of their ass out of nowhere. So like, the loss will come. But like as far as the NFC goes, the NFC's shit right now. It's shit, maybe good, maybe shit. You know, their equals really are within the division. And we know the Giants aren't their equal. The Cowboys, I think if you put the Eagles against the Cowboys in the playoffs, 9 times out of 10, the Eagles are winning that game.
Yeah, because it's the Cowboys. The Cowboys do some smelly shit in the playoffs.
And I just don't think that, like, talent-wise, that group measures up. With or without Dak, I don't think the talent-wise they would be able to measure up in a playoff game that more than likely would be in Philly.
Yeah.
So, you know, is there anybody in the NFC that could possibly challenge them?
I mean, on paper, no. Like, I can't really think of a team on paper that I could see. I mean, maybe the Niners. Maybe the Niners.
See, and I have not lost faith in the 49ers. Of course,
I haven't either.
My prediction for the 49ers, unfortunately, is going swimmingly. But everyone is just kind of, okay, Mike McGlinchey's terrible. That's kind of where I stand with the San Francisco 49ers. They had a competent left or right tackle. Maybe Jimmy G wouldn't be so bad. Yeah. He would be marginally bad, but not as bad as he's been.
Yeah.
Because his left and right tackle ain't giving him shit. But the 49ers, and I love the McCaffrey trade. We didn't talk about the McCaffrey trade. I think for them to go out there and get McCaffrey, who you have not only him, but Debo, both being Swiss Army knives in the backfield, in the slot, whatever. Like, I can't name you two receivers on the 49ers, and I don't think you need to.
Brandon Ayuk and yeah, that's
right,
it.
Right now, I can't even name you the second. That's not Debo Samuel. So
yeah, them too.
Yeah, and oh yeah, I forgot they have George Kittle. So
yeah, exactly.
If there's the one, it's probably the 49ers sitting at 4-4. I don't think the Rams are. I think Stafford's kind of sliding back to.
I don't even think it's Stafford sliding back. Yeah. Nigga ain't got no line, man. Like he getting pulverized, bro. He getting pulverized, and Allen Robinson is a fraud, like all Bears fans told people.
Like we tried. We really tried. So it's kind of looking like unless someone just burst out, oh, shit, yeah. We not even going to mention Minnesota, right?
No. Okay. Absolutely not. Because Minnesota is like, if they had any other quarterback, I would believe them. But if they had any other quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
You don't think that Kevin McConnell or Kevin O'Connell can – or has properly maxed Kirk Cousins' deficiencies?
I don't think
he may be able to get the Stafford year out of him.
No, because I don't think that it's the playmakers or the play calling has been the issue with Kirk Cousins. It's fucking Kirk Cousins. Just as in his nature to do bullshit. Then, like the biggest problem with Stafford was the nigga was in Detroit. He was in Detroit. A lot of times he just had Megatron, so a lot of times he was like, "Well, Calvin down there somewhere." Like this nigga, Kirk Cousins has been around these weapons for a long ass time. There's no big difference that I see in the Minnesota Vikings play compared to other years. It's just the Green Bay Packers are huff now. Like to me, that's the only real difference. Like I don't look at Kirk Cousins like, man, he looks different to me. Kirk Cousins is not a bad quarterback. Like and that's the annoying thing about Kirk Cousins. He's not bad and he's not good either. He is the definition of mid. He can get you a good season, maybe win you a division title every now and then, and then the playoffs come. He not gonna play well. He could play well and he throw the game away. It's just something Kirk Cousins like is going to destroy them. But the one thing that they'll have in their pocket is they're gonna have a home game, and they're gonna have that in there and be able to play in front of that amazing crowd at that stadium. So that'll help. But I'm not putting them able to beat like a Philly or a Niners or something like that. And, you know, we're not even talking about the Bucks anymore, I think, which is crazy. But I'm just not – I think they're going to run away with the division, obviously, because the Bears are bad, Green Bay is bad, and despite what people are saying, well, they found some things in that Buffalo game, they just still lost. I don't want to hear about the shit they found. And I wouldn't shock me if they lost to Detroit this week. I'm not picking them to beat Detroit.
We'll get to it.
I'm not picking Detroit, but yeah, I just feel like the NFL in general right now, it's not a lot of good teams. There's probably only 3 to 4 good teams in football right now.
I can count three.
Yeah, it's the Chiefs, it's the Eagles, and the Bills. Yeah, that's really it. So like 3 teams out of the entire league. We've seen a lot of mediocre football and the worst teams in the NFC. There's going to be a team that wins 7 games who's going to win the NFC South. Like, and it's going to be terrible. And so the NFC is like the JV league. So it's just, I don't know. I think this is the Eagles conference to lose. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. And as somebody that saw the Eagles being a dark horse for, you know, Super Bowl contention, definitely.
Glad I switched my division pick last minute.
Yeah, yeah, that was a great move. Speaking of the other team in the division, Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings, they're supposed to play week 11. That could be our first flex game.
Yeah,
it's a Sunday night because Bengals and Steelers currently slated for that. I do not want to see Kenny Pickett versus Joe Burrow in prime time. So, Lord Jesus, please, give us that Prescott versus Kirk Cousins. We continue on. Let's talk about Ryan Poles because there was some trades made this upcoming over the week.
Yeah.
Roquan Smith. As we said, no longer here. Chase Claypool, now a Chicago Bear, finally getting a big, tall, fast. I didn't know that he still ran kind of sub 440 or sub 440.
Yeah, you didn't know that because he had to slow down with Mitchell Stone and Balls.
Yeah, exactly. Or Big Ben, you know. So now to have a quarterback like Justin, who not only has a strong arm, but they can make plays, you know, with his legs and extend plays, I'm very excited to see what he can do. But we're watching the Eagles, and you know, Justin's development is, you know, putting up against Jalen Hurts, I think is very crucial, because where Justin was last year is very similar to where Jalen, or where Justin is this year is very similar to where Jalen was last year.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the issues, especially, you know, under a first year head coach or first year offensive coordinator, you know, some of the struggles it takes, you know, getting used to the system and also still continuing to grow. And I'm seeing the progression that Jalen had last year. Now we're seeing that with Justin within his last couple of games, and he's starting to get better, you know. But it's more than that, because I think that, you know, the Bears are going to have a lot of money. What was it? $120 million. Coming into free agency next year, they're also going to have a lot of picks. Yeah. What do you think that Ryan Poles, heading into his second offseason, his first offseason after a full season, what do you think he can learn from one of the best in football, I believe, in Howie Roseman? Howie, we know, likes to wheel and deal his picks. He likes to, you know, make bold trades and bold moves to put his team in a position to win. And I saw, you know, some of those videos yesterday, you know, the love that Philly has for Howie Roseman, because they have the trust that he's going to do whatever it takes to put a winning product out there on the field. You know, that's what we want in Ryan Poles. Yeah. You know, what can Ryan Poles learn from what Howie's done in Philly?
I think he can learn about the aggressiveness, and I think the Chase Claypool trade is a step in the right direction. Because he said himself, like, he didn't like how the free agent market for 2023 looked. He wasn't so sure about, you know, the draft picks in 2023 for the second round. And I think that, you know, a lot of people who are, you know, showing that, you know, the draft pick, you know, he gave up a lot for the draft pick. And a lot of people was wondering, was it the Bears second round pick or was it the Ravens? And at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people remember when Howie Roseman traded for A.J. Brown. It was like, he's giving up a lot of fucking picks. I don't think any Bears fan, I'm not even any Eagles fans complaining about that right now, because A.J. Brown is probably, him and Stephon Diggs is probably having the best wide receiver season. Like, he's dog.
Grown ass man. I love that he told Minka and the Steelers that, like, y'all niggas little.
Now, the funny shit was, did you see the mic'd up where it was like, oh, I know it. It was riding him because he got tackled by Minka. He said, oh, I know I'm faster than you now. I think it was Gardner Johnson was like, I know I'm faster than you now.
I got to watch Inside the NFL when I get upstairs.
This one was on NFL puts that mic'd up on their YouTube once a week. So it's on that one.
Oh, baby. So, I got to watch that.
But yes, I think that's where you can learn from it. And one thing that I love about what Ryan Poles has told us from day one, gonna build through the draft. And then also, he kind of like, he's a good poker player because, you know, we also got, remember, a couple weeks ago, he said, remember right before the New England game when he made the impromptu press conference, when everybody was on this man's ass. I think the peak of the polls, media bashing came after the Commanders game, because that's when Richard Sherman went on his rant and was like, they're not doing anything to help Justin. Yeah. And it was going like Scott Van Pelt was on TV with Damian Woody, and they're both like, what the hell are the Bears doing? Like, you know, they're not even giving Justin an opportunity to win. And then before the Monday Night Football game, he basically doubled down like, nah, I'll do the same thing with my receiver room. I did the same thing with that. And then a week later, he trains for people. You know, when have you ever seen – not just in the NFL, but especially the Bears, make three midseason trades. And never. He's done everything that we told him to. I mean, after he did Robert Quinn, me and my brother came on the pod, and we like, I would love to see him trade Roquan Smith in midseason. Nah, let's not wait to the regular season, I mean, to the offseason. Do it now. And he came out and did it now. And then the next day, he trades for Chase Claypool. So I think he's already learning the aggressiveness. And one thing that he did say in his press conference after he talked about the acquisition of Chase Claypool, he said, I remember where I came from, but when it comes to evaluating a quarterback, a.k.a. talking about he knows where he came from with Patrick Mahomes' evaluation. I really think the last month, especially the last 2 weeks, Justin showed – polls, if there was any doubt, and I don't think there really was, contrary to what national media was saying, if there was any doubt, he confirmed it for polls. Then polls like, okay, if he can do this shit with these whole food baggers I got out here right now, I need to take the initiative and give this guy something. So at least we can see 9 games with Chase Claypool, and then next year we'll have a whole camp, and then he'll be going into that. And then also, when you think about the cap, there's a lot of ways he can go. Now you've got Chase Claypool from the draft perspective, maybe you don't have to go wide receiver in the first two picks. Maybe you can get some offensive linemen now, because if you go out there and Chase and Mooney and even a guy like N'Keal Harry are doing good, you got some guys now. And so then you can add on that. And also another thing Bears fans got to understand, all the money don't have to be spent this year. It can stretch on. And also you've got some extensions coming up. You're going to have to pay Jalen Johnson. You're going to have to pay Darnell Mooney.
David Montgomery.
You got to figure out what to do with Nemo. This is my thing on Demo. I think Demo is going to come back on a team-friendly deal. I think, because it's not like it's going to be a massive market for David Montgomery any damn way. And then also, he can also, if Chase Claypool does well, you're going to pay Chase Claypool. So to me, he's already slowly putting the pieces together. And I think Bears fans just wanted to know what's the plan. And you know, we still a long way to go. He still got to draft the right people. He still got to sign the right people before we can say that he accomplished his goal. And, you know, obviously you got to win a championship before you can be compared to Howie Roseman. But I think he's going in a step in the right direction, and Bears fans actually are learning to trust him because we're seeing the action.
Yeah, the aggressiveness was the main thing I was going to point out as well. I think that, you know, all along, when he made the choice that we weren't going to upgrade the wide receivers room, only a pinch, you know, Byron Pringle was really the biggest acquisition to improve that. The minute that decision was made, I said, they have to make a trade for a wide receiver at some point within the season. You cannot go all year with Darnell Mooney being your best receiver or being your number one. So going out and finding a talent like Chase Claypool, you know, everybody holds on to these, you know, their pre-draft evaluations. He's someone that I'm sure Kansas City was evaluating him. And I'm sure that Cunningham, when he was in Philly, you know, was looking at him, you know, for potential wide receivers as well. Big body wide receivers that could fill that Alshon Jeffrey mold. So, you know, both of them know what he can do. I've seen him a lot at Notre Dame. I think Cunningham is a Notre Dame guy, isn't he?
I'm not too sure. Let me look that up.
I feel like I may have heard something about Cunningham.
I do know Ian Cunningham has had a relationship with every trade that they had. He had a relationship with all the front offices.
Right.
That's where I said was the actual key in having a good front office. And I do think we only got like a year or two more of Ian Cunningham. I think he's going
to
be a GM.
Yeah, he's definitely going to get elevated. So, you know, put him to good use. Of course, he worked with Howie a lot. So, you know, likely has picked up a lot from him. But that was the kind of trade, you know, right after dealing Roquan, having the balls to, you know, go out here and do it, not, you know, worried about trying to renegotiate for a guy that is not at an impact.
He went to Virginia.
Yeah. But not trying to, you know, negotiate for a guy that is not at an impact position. Let's trade him, get a second, which is great value for, you know, nine more games of him or however long Baltimore is going to have him. And then having the balls to, you know, hey, we got a second. We're good. We drop down, if anything, 5-10 picks in that round. Let's go out and get that receiver that Justin needs. That's the type of move that good GMs will make, you know, taking away from a position that you can elevate a Jack Sanborn or somebody else to go in and fill that role and grow in that role. You know, if even Flus is a really good defensive coach, he's going to get the best out of those guys. You know, let's do what we can to go improve the offense and get this offense clicking sooner rather than later, or trying to do it in the offseason. You know, so, you know, it's that. And then let's see how he works with picks, because I love how he works with picks. The whole reason he got AJ Brown was because he was willing to, you know, make trades and make moves in the year before, you know, dropping down from 6, that Jalen Waddle pick, and eventually winding up still with a great receiver in Devontae Smith. You get an extra first round pick and then another extra first round pick because some team thought Carson Wentz was worth it. So, yeah. You know, then you end up not only with Jordan Davis, who they got, you get an AJ Brown, who now is playing like one of the 5 best receivers in the game. Oh, and they have the Saints first round pick next year, which could be top 10.
Yeah.
So, like, learn how to use your picks to your benefit and how to improve your roster. Those would be the two things that I would say Ryan Pulse needs to be studying specifically from Howie. Howie's done a great job, you know, getting the ring in Philly, and I know they continuing to strive for more. But that's the point. You know, it's not necessarily to me how long the you know, how many championships they have won. You know, it's the effort for sustained success, you know, especially in a game like football where that shit can be so fleeting. To accomplish that is what we want of the Bears and of Ryan Poles. And, you know, pray to God we can fucking get that someday, because especially now seeing like the trust that Eagles fans have in ownership, in the organization. I crave that for the Bears.
And can I say this thing about ownership? One thing that I will say about ownership, this deadline told me they're buying everything that Ryan Poles is selling, because we do know the Bears ownership isn't big on trading defensive people. You know what I'm saying?
Made the whole identity on linebackers. Yeah.
So that tells me that George McCaskey is believing with what he's selling. He's letting him do his job, which is a big thing. And also, I love the philosophy is changing. There's been a lot of old Chicago media having a hard time dealing with this. And just old, like, you know, Michael Wilbon was acting like they traded fucking on. First of all, I don't know why PTI is still on TV, with all due respect. But it's just like you can see the shift. You're not winning a championship with a linebacker being best player. You know what I'm saying? And I love how Flus basically said Flus basically said in the most polite way in this press conference that you're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy.
You're not that guy.
And they asked him what Indianapolis would have drafted him at 5. He was like, at 5? Like, he was like, I beg your pardon? And like, you can see that.
And as a wonderful transition, we're saying Roquan Smith is not that guy. Roquan Smith has been looking for the contract that what's my man, Devin White, the guy in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Devin White got that contract, and Devin White has been non-existent this season.
Exactly.
Awful. And you know, that brings us into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And of course, Devin White's not an older guy on that team. You know, he's, you know, one of the future stars, or at least, you know, moving into this next phase, because only so much longer that Tom Brady is going to pretend out here in these streets. Has age caught up to him?
I hate to say it. Yes, I do. Like, I was in denial at first. First, I was like, oh, it's the offensive line. Oh, you know, I don't like the play calls. But the more you watch it, it's a mix of everything. But I do think a lot of it is Father Time is finally catching up to him. I think what we're seeing in sports right now in general is catching up to Aaron Rodgers as well, which I'm loving every goddamn second. And it's catching up to LeBron James. I know a lot of people don't want to admit it, but, you know, I watched. Did you watch
year, that? Jesus, it's year 20.
Did you know it was year 20? I was watching that Pelicans game the other night. He gave the Pelicans every chance to win that game. Boy, did he. With them fadeaways, thinking he was Kobe. But you're starting to slowly see it. And the same thing with Tom Brady. He looks more frustrated. One of you, hey, Tom Brady has not lost three in a row in 20 years. Like, this is the first time he's lost three in a row in any football team in 20 years. And he might lose four in a row this week. And I think it has a large thing to do with, you know, he is older. He's throwing a little bit more ducks. It's not looking Peyton in 2015-wise, obviously. But there are other issues. There are other issues where the defense isn't playing as well as they should be. A lot of their offensive weapons are getting hurt. And also, you can look at that play. To me, the play to change that Panther game, if Mike Evans doesn't drop that wide open touchdown, that changes the entire fucking game.
That's the tone of the game.
Yeah, exactly. So now I feel like then that he's cussing out the offensive line. I think the offensive line want to tell him to fuck off because it's like, nigga, you were at Robert Kraft wedding this week. Like, you weren't even in the meetings. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he got every Wednesday off, I believe.
Yeah, so. And you can't do that because he's the GOAT. And in the words of Atlanta philosopher, you do what you want when you're popping. But I do think it's just a fucked up situation right now for him. But at the end of the day, I have no sympathy. I don't feel bad. This nigga overachieved. Like he's been beating Father Time longer than any athlete we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, he lost his family over this. Lost his family for a super wild card.
He's Roger Clemens on the Houston Astros.
Yes, that's a good comparison.
He still got a good fastball, but it's not what it used to be. And is, you know, the twilight is clearly, you know, it's clearly there. You know, I mean, it was there last year. He should have taken it, but he decided he wanted to come back because he hated his wife and family so much. But you know, his prerogative. But it's not just Tom, you know. Cam Braid is your starting tight end.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Evans is not 30 yet. He'll be 30 next year, but Mike Evans is creeping up there and he's getting hurt more often. Chris Godwin's trying to make it back off of an ACL. Julio Jones is up there in age. Akeem Hicks is up there in age. You know, like,
I forgot Akeem was on that team.
I didn't know exactly. You know, like, they're older more than they're, you know. Oh, sorry, they're closer to being done for that window being completely shut than it is, you know, having an opening to it. And that's beyond just filling the quarterback position.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm Todd just upset Bowles, that the black man gonna get the blame.
Hey, I understand it.
Cause you know that's what's gonna happen.
I mean, hey. We'll see how it finishes out. They 3-5. If Bowles could write the ship, get into the playoffs, and he very well could because the division is stinky, yeah, and you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, you absolutely should. But we'll see because, you know, Tampa just looks a little bit old right now. And I don't know what the answer is going to be, you know, with no quarterback, you know, and now you have to fill a certain number of positions or be able to entice guys to stay or come here. Without a Tom Brady, you know, I don't know if Kyle Trask is going to, you know, really get people to want to come to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe, you know, problem is there's no clear succession plan afterwards. I don't know, but don't look nice at 3-5.
No, my problem.
Hey, it ain't my problem. My problem is another 3-5 team.
Yeah, you know? The 3-5 team with a quarterback who's 23. We going nowhere but up, brother.
Exactly. It must stink to know that Marcus Mariota is on top of the division.
That's got to be the bad thing. Like, I don't understand that Falcons fans got to be enjoying the winning, but Marcus Mariota is not the future.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be
Marcus Mariota is going to lie himself into a long-term contract.
Like, to me, the Falcons and the Giants are hustling backwards. You need to get one of these.
I don't think the Giants are hustling backwards. I think the Giants may have just bought themselves more time to figure out the quarterback position.
But where you want to figure it out, though?
I don't know. I just don't think that I think Brian Daboll is smart enough to not give Daniel Jones a long-term contract. I don't know.
I'm not talking about extending Daniel Jones. Who are you going to replace him with?
I mean,
you don't want to be in the hell of the Indianapolis Colts in right now.
I feel you.
They've never recovered from that late August Andrew Luck curveball that was thrown 4 years ago.
Yeah, not knowing where to how to replace him.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, Lamar Jackson's a free agent.
I would just imagine that the Ravens ain't that stupid.
They'll tag him.
Yeah, they're going to have to go for sure. Which is crazy because they're going to have to pay. Like, this thing about the Roquan thing that was crazy to me. Now you got two niggas who are coming up on contracts. Two niggas who don't have agents and one franchise tag.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Good luck. Ain't my problem.
Not my goddamn problem. Trade deadline just passed, as we said. What do you think was the biggest trade?
The biggest trade to me, I think was... To me, it's not a tie. The Bradley Chubb was the biggest trade. I was going to give the Vikings a little bit of something, but I'm not. It's Bradley Chubb because to me, I love what their GM is doing. You know, in the games that Tua actually plays front to back, they're 5-0. The offense looks great. Mike McDaniel, another black man out there, give it up for black coaches, looks amazing. You know, everybody wants these offensive gurus. He looks amazing. And the fucking run game in San Francisco has not looked the same since he left. So they've been good. Their wide receiver tandem is amazing. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. You know, hopefully they get some of their corners back. They'll be getting back healthy. But the second most important position on the field after a quarterback is the nigga that go gets the quarterback. And you got a young guy in Bradley Chubb who has already been dominant in Denver. Now you add him to this defense. They paid him his money. So I love the deal overall. To me, this takes him to another level because now, you know, you have a complete team. And if Tua continues to play well, they're going to be a legit threat. They're not going to win a division because the Bills are going to win that division. But if Tua keeps playing the way he's playing right now and this defense is playing good, I wouldn't want to fucking play Miami in the playoffs. So I love that deal. To me, that's the best one. I'll give Vikings number two because I don't know what the fuck the Lions was doing. I know they got some picks, but I don't get in division trades. That should be a fucking felony in this country.
I don't know who the fuck made that decision.
Yeah, I saw that and I was standing on my phone like, what the fuck?
And I believe they did just pay TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Yeah, not too long ago they paid him. So, you know, wasting money, guaranteed dollars, and then I don't know. Maybe they didn't. Either way, though, you don't make division trades like that. I would say that, you know, it would be that for Minnesota because I do think that, you know, getting an immediate upgrade to Irv Smith, who's going to be out, you know, Hockenson is a pretty solid pass catcher. You know, that's going to be a big help for Kirk Cousins if this team is going to make a run. I would go Bradley Chubb with the Dolphins. I think if we're talking about like immediate impacts, that's probably going to be the one. Chubb's got 5.5 sacks so far this season, but I don't think Chubb has ever really been like a dominant player in the NFL. You know, he had a great rookie season, got hurt the second year. He's been trying to find his way back. And, you know, the Dolphins gave him that big deal. You better hope that you're getting that Chubb.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're getting that Nick Chubb, then you just transform Miami into, you know, so it's
I'm gonna compare this to the Khalil Mack trade.
Exactly even what though, I was even, thinking about.
You just even though Khalil was way better
right
than Bradley Chubb was, but
right, and Tyreek Hill is so much better than Allen Robinson is.
Yes. But it's
you also have a good second receiver too in Jalen Waddle.
Right. But it's about capitalizing on your quarterback's rookie deal because now, of course, Mitch didn't show anything the two are showing right now. But you get the initial motive behind the trade that you need to go get it right fucking now.
Right. You're hopeful that this is something that Ryan Poles can do in year three or year four, Justin. You know, go out and make a trade for a dominant edge rusher. So now we're able to compete. If we're talking about like immediate returns, then they'll be the Chubb one. But I'm going to go for a return that could have future gains. The Jaguars going out and trading for Calvin Ridley is brilliant.
Yeah, I like that trade.
You ain't trying to win this year. You don't give a damn.
I like it for them. I wouldn't have liked it for the Bears, though.
Oh, 100%. It would have been a terrible move for the Bears because, you know, the Bears
need it now.
The future, but you need a wide receiver right now.
Yeah.
You know, for Justin Fields. Trevor Lawrence is going to be there for a minute. Or, I mean, Justin will be there for a minute too. But.
Christian Kirk is better than everybody on the Bears wide receiver core before they got Chase.
1,000%. And Marvin Jones is there. Yeah. And, you know, their wide receiver core is set for the rest of the year. So, you know, going out and trading for Calvin Ridley is not going to kill you right now. You lose a 2023 fifth, fair. It's a conditional fourth in 2024 that I think can go all the way up to a two if he signs a brand new deal extension in Jacksonville. I'm sure Jacksonville's going to have a shit ton of money because they've been cutting so many guys.
Yeah.
So now you have Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, you know, probably a young draft pick as your third wide receiver for Trevor Lawrence. That's going to be a nice little receiving core for Trevor Lawrence in year three. You know, if you're hoping that he's continuing to ascend, because right now he looks stinky.
Yeah.
Right now he's very much clearly the second best quarterback in this.
And I'm not giving up on Trevor either.
Not at all.
What I said, I just want some consistency when we judge these quarterbacks, man.
Exactly.
Where's his open wide receiver, Cam? Where's that at? Now, granted, I know that the Justin plays for a franchise that is a charter franchise, and you know people come love. I keep
and nobody Bears gives fans, a shit about Jacksonville.
Yeah, Bears fans got so mad at me 3 years ago, and I said the Bears are the football Knicks, but that's exactly what they are. The Bears can be ass. We're gonna be guaranteed to be on regular season on prime time 3 or 4 times a year, even when bad. Yep. If Justin is good, these niggas are getting 6 to 7 primetime games. So I understand the difference between the franchises, and when you're, you know, Justin Fields, as soon as they traded for Chase Claypool, his fucking press conference was live on SportsCenter. So I understand it's a different thing. But, and also Trevor Lawrence has a complexion for protection. So I understand it's a different thing, but give me, I just want a little bit of consistency. Has Zach Wilson been ass since he got off IR? You don't hear nothing. Nothing about it.
Not a damn thing.
Not a damn thing.
I heard so much about this man. I heard so much about this man, you know, just needing to come back, needing your time, how much better he was than Justin Fields. All right, man. All right. He got better weapons. They went out and got him wide receivers in the draft. Okay? So it's not like he ain't got help. What's up,
brother?
What's happening? What's going on?
Can you tell me?
Do you have an idea?
Happy 40th birthday to Devin Hester.
Happy 40th birthday to my man, Devin Hester. I am very proud of Devin Hester. I really hope that, you know, next
Hall of Famer, stop playing.
I really hope next year is the year that we can finally get Devin Hester in the Hall of Fame, man, because he absolutely 1,000% deserves it. All right, man. You ready to talk some football?
Let's get into it.
Week 9 of the NFL season.
Let me pull up picks.
Well, while you do that, we will start in Chicago. You've already given your picks for the Bears and the Dolphins. Go listen to that on 79th and Hollis. Why don't you tell the people where they can find it?
You can find that on the Barber's Chair Patreon right now. You can check that out right now, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Get in tune with that. Me and Flo's preview this whole Miami Dolphins game. So look that up.
Yes, the Chicago Bears. It's held steady. At 4.5 points, even after all of the trades that were made. But 4.5 points is enough for the Miami Dolphins to clear that. I'm taking the Dolphins. I do think they win by at least a touchdown. They are the better team. You know, it's not a matter of, you know, what, you know, if the Bears can win games. You know, Sunday pissed me off for a lot of other reasons than the Bears lost.
What did you piss you off? I came out of that game smiling like a fucking idiot.
I was gleeful, but I did feel like there were certain instances where Getsy did not put Justin in a great position. And I'm like, can we please stop doing this shit if we're going to get over it?
You know, I'm starting to treat Getsy the way I treat Justin. Like, he's a rookie too.
And I need to remember that. You know, sometimes I need to remember that and get over that. And I was just utterly upset at the, you know, it was embarrassing, and I don't want to be embarrassed anymore. But, but hey, They might get ran by Miami. That's okay because we'll check out on the defensive plays. I'll go watch.
Yeah, I don't give a damn about the defense. Yeah.
I'll go watch red zone when
they definitely getting little TV treatment this week.
Exactly. I what matters most moving forward is the offense and where the offense is standing. And so, bet the props for the Bears offense. You know, I think they'll go over. And, Dolphins will win. Dolphins will cover. Yeah. I wonder who's calling the game, because depending on who's calling the game, I might just put some jazz on.
Put them niggas on mute.
Go put some WNUA 95.5 on, grab some Pine Sol and start cleaning.
Well, this is going to be the last game of the season that I have no choice but to pay that I don't have to pay attention to. Every other game for the rest of the year, I will be in the building and watching. So, yeah. Score some points, please.
Minnesota is at Washington. They are 3-point favorites on the road.
Minnesota and Washington. I'm going with the Vikings. I think the Vikings are going to win a lot of fucking regular season games.
Yeah.
I do.
I think it's Taylor Heineke.
Yes, Heineke. Yeah, because bum-ass Wentz is still on IR.
Wentz is still on IR. I will take the Minnesota Vikings to cover that spread. Buffalo is at MetLife taking on the Jets. They are 11.5-point favorites. That's a huge spread for a Jets team that is 5-3. They've covered for the last five games. Actually, where's the there's a deeper stat somewhere, but yeah, the Jets are covering football games. So yeah. I don't know.
I think it's a little high.
Yeah, the Jets. I think maybe it's last week that got a lot of people sour on the Jets
because Zach Wilson was huffing it up.
Zach Wilson was garbage, and Belichick played him, terrifically well. In their last couple of heads to heads, Buffalo has won the last four games. They've covered in four of the last five of those games. They covered in three of the last four, including, 28-point win last year in MetLife.
Yeah. I mean, for me, man, I think this is actually put this on my sneaky good games list, so I'm not going to hold you. I got the Bills, but I do think this can be a close game. And this is a game where Zach Wilson has to put his big boy pants on. If they want to win this game, they're going to have to score some points, because even in a game like last Sunday where Josh Allen threw two picks, those are video game picks. That's like when you beating your brother ass so bad you start doing bullshit throws because you can get away with it.
Right.
And then, like, you throw a pick. I'm beating your ass.
But then you get that long Hail Mary. You're like,
when you start going all the way back from behind the pocket and you throw like an 80-yard bomb. And he's like, "Nigga, you sorry.
I don't even play no more."
Right. You sorry. That's what Josh Allen was doing to the Packers. That's 100% what was going on.
Yeah. Fuck it. I'll take the Bills to cover. Okay. I think they'll cover that big ass.
I mean, it's not a bad bet.
It's not. The Chargers are at the 4-4 division leading Falcons. Chargers favored by 3 points. But here's the thing: the Falcons have been cover machines. They haven't covered the last two games, but I think the Falcons win this one outright. I don't know. It's smelly. It's ugly. But I also don't like.
I don't like anything the Chargers are doing.
No.
Like, if we want to talk about who's under surveillance, Brandon Staley is under fucking surveillance. Like, some people like, is Justin Herbert not the one?
Defense should be much better than 15th. Defense should be much better.
But it's two things here. One, Justin Herbert's ribs still look like pulled pork. That's number one. Number two, they're just not calling great plays. Like, I don't think it's a situation where it's like, oh, Justin Herbert, maybe he isn't as good as we thought. People got to look at the tape, man. And to me, it's just bad play calling and it's bad situations. And like you said, the defense isn't good. And also, the whole goddamn team is damn near on IR. I've never seen a team leave their bye week more hurt than they were going into it. So that and the fact that Atlanta's having no problem scoring points, I'm going to go with the Falcons. And the Falcons at the crib. So I'm going with the Falcons for this one.
The Green Bay Packers are in Detroit to take on the Lions. Green Bay.
Oh, they're in Detroit?
Favored. They're in Detroit.
Okay,
they're only favored by 3.5 points.
Press stupid finish alert button right now. If you have a stupid finish alert button, press that motherfucker now. I'm going to pick the Green Bay Packers by the slimmest of margins. I think this is going to come down to like a 45, 50-yard Mason Crosby field goal because the fucking Lions defense is so bad that it's disrespectful to actual bad defenses. Jared Goff is slowly coming back down to earth and doing Jared Goff things. But they're at home. They're going to put up points. The thing with the Packers now is if you can stop their run game, you can beat them. And if they can find a way to slow down A.J. Dillon, slow down Aaron Jones, they can beat this team. But I'm just not counting on the fucking Lions to play a full 60 minutes. They were 27-7 last week against the Dolphins, and them niggas didn't score again, and they lost the game. So I'm going to go with the Packers, but it's going to be a very slim game. Very, very close game, man.
I'm teetering back and forth on this game. Packers are 0-5 against teams that are above 500 or at 500, but they're 3-0 against sub-500 teams. And the Lions are one of the worst teams in football. But
you
Detroit... got the shootouts
with Taylor Heineke and Bradley Zapp. Or Bailey Zapp, whatever that nigga name is.
There's that. And Detroit scored at least 27 points in all four of their home games. Green Bay hasn't scored 27 all season.
So Chicago Bears have scored more points than the Green Bay Packers.
Chicago Bears have a more explosive offense than the Green Bay Packers, ladies and gentlemen. Who would have thought? So I've been going back and forth with this, like, you know, ever since this morning when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. If you can get the hook, take Detroit 3.5. Because I think if Detroit loses, it's not going to be by more than a field goal.
Yeah.
This does have stupid finish alert. I think these two teams, for some reason, all the other division rivals seem to play Green Bay much better than we do.
Or
at least more competitively.
You know what I want from that December 4th game? We ain't even got to win. Pinch the bitch.
Competitive.
Pinch the bitch. That's all I'm asking. Because I already know they're going to run it down our throat. Like, Aaron's going to have a mediocre throwing game. Mm-hmm. But they're going to run it down our throat. Like they did week two. I was there. I saw that bullshit live. Just pinch the bitch. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. Carolina is in Cincinnati. Bengals are favored by a touchdown and a field goal.
Yeah, that sounds...
touchdown, extra point, I guess.
That sounds realistic. Going to go with the Bengals. For sure, I'm going with the Bengals. But the Bengals have not impressed me this year either. Jamar Chase hasn't helped. They should be embarrassed for the performance they put up on Monday Night Football. And the Panthers have been competitive. But they're home. They should win this. They should win this fucking game. They have no business losing this fucking game.
Yeah, I think the Panthers covered their last two games. I think they'll come back to earth here. Bengals win. Plus, the Bengals gotta be angry after that Browns showing. So, Indianapolis in New England. Patriots are 6-point favorites now, climbing.
That's high.
That is high. But there's some worry about Jonathan Stewart. Maybe he'll play. Maybe he won't play. Sam Ehlinger is your quarterback.
You mean Jonathan Taylor?
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, you said Jonathan Stewart.
Sam
like Armstrong on the bench.
Well, yeah, Jonathan Stewart used to play for the Panthers, and I got Panthers. On
oh
the
yeah, court, I remember so. That nigga.
Yep. Sam Ehlinger is your quarterback for the Colts. That's enough for me to go Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going to go Patriots because the Colts, man, it's just, whew, they're in quarterback hell, dog. I was wrong about Matt Ryan. Atlanta fans, I was wrong. You were right. I thought he had a little more left in the tank.
Yep. The Raiders. Raiders are at Jacksonville. They're favored by 2.5 points.
Is there been
Please
a more
don't put this game
team?
On red zone.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Has there been a more disappointing team than the Vegas Raiders?
No.
I don't think so. They have
no.
Been
this is how. Listen. Devontae Adams left and became one of the worst wide receivers in football. whose fault do you think that is?
Huh? It's Derek Carr because he still makes some amazing catches when it's thrown to him.
You know, it might be, but also could be Josh McDaniels' fault. Nobody knows. No one knows, and that's the problem with the Las Vegas Raiders.
What did Tony Stark say? Would it be too much to ask for both? Could be both of them niggas. You know what's funny? Both of them, Aaron Rodgers misses him, Devontae misses him. Both of them are like on a Wolverine meme right now. It's exactly what both of them are. They miss each other. And I'm glad they miss each other.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. I'm gonna take Jacksonville at home. I know it's a smelly, really risky pick, but
man, I'm taking the Raiders, man. It's gonna be a nasty game, but I'm
the Raiders. The Raiders gotta earn back my confidence.
Yeah, but the Jaguars are very fucking bad.
I know. Jacksonville did play a good game last week in Denver. I know you didn't against Denver in London. I know you didn't watch it.
I saw like a quarter as I was getting ready to go to Staples Center for that early ass Clipper Pelicans game.
Yuck.
That was a terrible, terrible game. But I honestly just went to watch Zion hoop.
That's fair. I'd do that too. Seattle, your division leading Seattle Seahawks are 1.5-point underdogs in Arizona.
Yeah, man. I get why the underdogs get on the road, but man, I'm going with Seahawks, man. I'm a Seahawk believer. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Geno. I'm loving what I'm seeing from the team in general. This is Pete Carroll's fuck you season. This is him saying I was right about old boy. You know, as Pete Carroll is like, y'all thought I would fail without old buddy. Old buddy, what I do make more money. He's pulling the hole in Blueprint 3 right now. So shout out to Pete Carroll. And I just don't like the Arizona Cardinals. I don't like fucking Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is fucking mid. And fucking Kiff Kingsbury should not have a job. You want to know the definition of white privilege? Look at that nigga. So I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks.
I think this line is too low. It started at 3.5 and it's come crashing down to 1.5. And I understand that Seattle has been very solid. They beat Arizona a couple weeks ago by 10. It was a home game. I don't think that DeAndre Hopkins was playing. I got to believe that Arizona is better than what they've shown so far. 1.5 points, I think they can clear that easily. I would take Arizona and the points. I think that could be a sneaky good game, though, out west. The Rams are in Tampa. Brady's a 3-point favorite on Matthew Stafford. This is a hard one to pick, but I do not think there's any possible way that Tom Brady goes on a 4-game losing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I'm going with the Buccaneers just because of my faith in the GOAT that he just is not going to lose for a month straight. I have no football analysis whatsoever. That's why I'm picking.
The right football analysis would be to go to Rams because yes. the Rams have swept Brady in Tampa the 3 games that they played.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'm going Rams.
Oh, you going to the dark side.
If he's dead, he's dead. Kansas City. Oh, this is a Sunday night game. Ooh, wonderful. Kansas City hosting the Tennessee Titans, 2-5-2 football teams. Kansas City, 12.5-point favorites.
I'm going Kansas City. Kansas City going to beat the shit out of these niggas, man.
They really.
They definitely covered.
I don't know, man. Tennessee 27-3 last year.
Look, man, they gonna beat the shit out of them niggas, man. I'm telling y'all right now. Niggas got Patrick Mahomes fucked up. They keep running that ball, they won't make buddy throw.
I think Tennessee covers, but I'm gonna take Kansas City to win.
Okay.
I think Derrick Henry's gonna be able to keep that game.
I think everybody will be turning on their fire sticks by the second quarter.
I think everybody's gonna be watching Fox by the second quarter.
So you're saying it's gonna be a game 7 on Sunday?
That brings us to our other question: who wins the World Series?
Well, I'm picking with my pick. I had Houston in 7, but I'm thinking it's gonna be Houston in 6 now. I think Philly fucked up last night.
I think my two predictions was smart money would be Houston in 6. And this series played out perfectly for Houston because they were able, you know, once they got the win in game 4, they were able to line up Verlander 5, Valdez 6, and then 7's just, you know, if it has to go that way. But, you know, them being up 3-2.
7 is all hands on deck.
them being up 3-2 is perfect because the lefty is able to counteract Schwarber and Bryce Harper. You know, and, you know, if Bryson Stott and Brandon Marsh aren't driving a lot of fear into your hearts, wait until you see Edmundo Sosa and Matt Vierling. So smart money is Astros in six. I do think the Astros do close it out. You know, Philly's fucking weird, man. So can they win this series?
I mean, nothing about Philly is baseball analysis. It's just
exactly
destiny shit. Because they should have been home a long time ago. If we were going off baseball analysis.
There was a tweet that said that the Philadelphia Phillies are that sign won't stop me because I can't read as a baseball team. And that's absolutely factual. So I know that Wheeler's mile per hour, his velocity is down a tick. It's totally possible he wins this game and it forces game seven. And Ranger, if they're able to get it to a game seven, Ranger Suarez has quietly been an unsung hero this postseason.
So we'll see. I got Astros winning on Saturday.
It could be weird. I think the Astros win it on Saturday, but if this shit goes seven, Philly might win it. That brings us to Sunday night. Baltimore Ravens.
Monday night.
Baltimore Ravens get their little mini bye. I like the teams getting a Thursday night game and then a Sunday night game. We've seen that a bunch this season. A little mini bye. Baltimore, 2.5-point favorites against New Orleans Saints.
Shit, look up whatever NBA game is on that night. Because I'm going to go Ravens. You know, the Saints, I had them Saints in my sleeper team at the beginning of the year. I was ridiculously wrong. But yeah, Ravens should be able to win this one.
Yeah, I don't know how the Saints took that game against the Raiders, other than the Raiders are god-awful. I'm going to go with Baltimore. I do think that the addition of Roquan, you know, having him in for basically a full week almost by the time that they play, it's going to be a big, big push for them. You know, I don't like their quarterback situation in New Orleans. They're probably going to run the ball like hell with Alvin Kamara. He's going to put up points. That's why, like, I think the over is definitely in play, depending on the pace of the game. But Baltimore will win this. You know, 2.5 is not hard for them. It's Andy Dalton, man. Come on.
It's the red rifle.
Red rifle against an MVP. I'm not going that way. Yeah. Anything else before you head up out of here?
I hope the Bulls win the game tonight. So this will be my first time actually watching a Bulls game front to back because there's nothing else on tonight. So I hope they win.
I really do. Especially covering 7.5 points because that would be lovely for me. You enjoy your week, sir.
I will definitely do so.
Hopefully that includes fun Chicago Bear offense. Notice we didn't say football. Offense. Don't give a damn about the football. I care about the offense.
Stats and nil.
For the love of God, give me a touchdown on a fade to Chase Claypool. That's how
they score basically 30 points 2 weeks in a row. At the bare minimum, give me 24.
Show me that you can hit an easy touchdown fade to Chase Claypool. So now I can breathe a sigh of relief and be like,
I want to see a deep shot to Chase Claypool, okay. Like on the first play. Like, fuck it. We hit.
Yes. Show me that we can make these plays and we're going to be okay.
And then I just want to hear whoever announcing Fields the Claypool touchdown. That's all I want to hear on Sunday. That's all I want to hear.
Yeah. I'm at Cameron Santo. That's where you can follow me on Twitter. Scott's at Barber Chair. Scott at BarberChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarberChairDigital. Rate and review us. 5 stars wherever you listen to our podcast. We always appreciate it when you do. Patreon.com/BarberChairNetwork. Why don't you tell them what they can hear if they go and subscribe to the Patreon?
Well, you got 3 different choices. You can subscribe to the Summer Sessions Patreon if you just want to hear me, Pav, Merck, JR Bang, you know, chop up the shits, everything, entertainment, music. We had a really good, we have like a little Dateline series going on right now. So not going to say exactly what that series is because we're not behind the paywall, but find out. Find out what it is. We're going to do part two because J.R. Bang was out of town this week. He was at a conference in Atlanta. So he'll be back. He'll tell us about him being in the meeting with Mr. Puff Daddy. So we're going to get into that. If you want to get your exclusive 79th and Hollis shit, like our preview pods and our on-field videos, subscribe to the $5 79th and Hollis package. And if you want all of the shit, subscribe to the $10 barbershop access, man. So, you know, get all that shit going on, man. And, you know.
Yeah, man. By the way, your announcer for Sunday's game is Kevin Harlan.
Oh, I would love to hear that.
So it's going to sound something like that. Fields drops back. He makes a throw. It's a deep bomb. Oh, Chase Claypool with the catch all the way to the end zone.
Chicago Bears lead.
Yeah, something like that.
Exactly. And then like Tua go puts up two touchdowns in a row. But still, just give me that first moment.
Oh, Tyreek Hill has get away from the cop speed.
And Kyler Gordon is down. Like, you know, we know this is going to happen.
You know, the new Charles Tillman. Yeah. The new Steve Smith and Charles Tillman.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. We're out of here. Enjoy the week of football. This has been 2 Minute Drill. We'll see you later.
Yes, sir.